So let's pray. We know that apart from him, we can't do anything. I don't have anything to give, but the Holy Spirit has anointed us to teach and to preach a word tonight, and I believe he's anointing you to hear it and to receive. Father, I thank you for the word of God tonight. I thank you that you have appointed us to be in Grace Church tonight, and that we have a word by the Holy Spirit that's on time, in the right season, that you have anointed me to teach this word, and that you have anointed the ears of those here to hear the word of God tonight, that we will be changed by the word of God and the Spirit of God, that we will go out of this place and we will put this word into practice, that we will act on your word, and that we may be blessed and transformed by the word of God tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I prayed before coming to Fort Worth, to Burleson, of course, there's so much that you could share in one service, but we pray and we endeavor to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. What is it you have? You know what the people need. You know who's going to be there. And the message that the Lord put on my heart for tonight, the title of the message is The Voice. I'm not talking about the television show, The Voice. But there's a voice that is unlike any other voice. There's a voice that can transform your circumstances in your life. There is a voice that we can hear. And I want to turn to Revelation 3:20. Revelation 3:20 is a verse that's been used many times in evangelistic soul-winning meetings. But if we look at Revelation chapter 3, we see that this is being written to the church, not to the lost, to the church. And in fact, it's being written to the church of Laodicea, which was what we call and what is referred to in the Bible as the lukewarm church. So the message that the Holy Spirit has for the lukewarm church, and let's just read in verse 20. Nevertheless, let me make sure I'm in the right verse here, just a second. Hallelujah. I'm in chapter 2, sorry. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is fascinating because this is God speaking to you, to us, to the church. Behold, I, the Almighty, stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. The Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone, if any man, if any woman, if any young person hears my voice and opens the door, I'm going to come in. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to have a conversation with him. You know, he's not really talking about eating a meal. I don't know about your house, but my house growing up was a house. All of our time of sharing was around the dinner table. I grew up in a family of 6 children, and we would all come together from all our separate ways, and we would sit down at night, and everybody would share what was going on, what had happened in their life that day. God Almighty desires to come in. Come into our life. Sit down and fellowship with us. But he's knocking. The picture is of him knocking with his voice, is knocking to come in. He has things to tell us. He has things to say. And this is the lukewarm church who had been not hot or cold. It said their works, the things they were doing, weren't that bad. But they weren't that good either. They weren't hot. They weren't cold. It talks about them not having been clothed in righteousness. So they had become worldly. It talks about them being blind and not having a lot of spiritual discernment. But God is saying, I'm standing there. I'm knocking. If anyone hears anyone hears my voice, I'll come in. You know, in my life, and I just finished writing, obeying God, and writing a book that he had given me this mandate, and it took me a long time to get the time or take the time or whatever, obey in finishing, but it's just getting finished, and it's called When Trouble Comes. Has anybody ever had trouble? Am I the only one? I mean, when trouble comes, and God gave me the title, he said, when trouble comes, my people don't know how to draw off my delivering power when trouble comes. Not if trouble comes, when trouble comes. And it was really eye-opening when I went through this book, because I share principles, drawing of the power of God through faith, the power of God through prayer, the power of God through praise, the power of God through the name of Jesus. But at the end of each little short teaching, I have true life stories of trouble, mostly in my life. Trouble came and how that worked in delivering power. And as I looked at that, and I looked at the whole picture, I know I've had some people, like Vicki Fox read the book and gave me some suggestions, and I've had different people read it. And when you look at this whole trouble and being delivered, almost every situation, there was a word that was the key, hearing his voice. God gave a word. God gave an instruction. God spoke a scripture verse that was like a lifeline that brought me out of that situation, hearing his voice. In Jeremiah 33:3, I love that verse. One of my favorite verses. I guess they're going to be putting it up in the Bible. But here you have, now we got out of the lukewarm church, and now we're in a totally backslidden church that's worshiping idols. I don't think anybody here is probably worshiping idols tonight, but, you know, this is a church that had gotten way off track, a people that had gotten way off track, and the prophet Jeremiah stands up before them, and he says, aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? Praise the Lord. He says, call unto me, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But there takes a calling. There takes a seeking. There takes a calling unto him. I've got to have the answer. I've got to get it from you, God. I've got to hear from you. And that great, that word great in the original Hebrew meant more, greater things. And that word mighty were things that were difficult to reach, difficult to get to, but not impossible, but they were like cut off. You know, I found in my walk with God, the deep things of God, the valuable things of God, they have a price to pay to get them. It's not just going to be walking along one day and they fall on you. And it takes a response and a seeking to the things of God. So I want to just share in a few minutes tonight some principles of hearing God's voice. The voice. I call it the voice. There's no other voice like it. That voice of God in my life. First of all, it showed and revealed to me the whole purpose that he had for my life when I was 8 years old. When I was only 8 years old, I don't know why, it was a strange thing, but I remember it very clearly. I felt like I had to know what God put me here for. People used to pat me on the head. I was just an 8-year-old little girl and say, Kathy, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I never knew what to say, and it bothered me. And so one day on our swing set in our backyard, I'm swinging, and I'm looking up at the sky because to me, God was in the sky. And I'm saying, God, what do you want me to be when I grow up? What do you want me to be? For a long time, I sat swinging and asking and looking at the sky and swinging and asking. But suddenly, I heard it startled me, but a voice, that voice, the first time I can ever remember hearing that voice, And it came on the inside, not audible with my ears, but just as real as an audible voice. I want you to be a missionary. And you say, well, I'm glad he never said that to me. No. I want you to be a missionary. And even for years when I was far from God, when I wasn't following God, I knew in my heart if I did what God had, my purpose was to be a missionary, even though I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what a missionary was. But I knew it. And that voice that delivered me out of every demonic strategic attack in my life that tried to take my life, that tried to wipe me out, that tried to kill me, that tried to stop that purpose, my deliverance came through that voice. That same voice. That same voice. Hallelujah. And every turn and fork in the road, when I didn't know which way to go, it was that same voice that directed me to my destiny. And it's that voice I depend on every day of my life. So, how does this voice communicate? Well, we know that the Word of God, that God will communicate through His Word. Hallelujah. Every day, when I was a baby Christian, I established a principle, and that was to have what I call my quiet time. My quiet time should be quiet. Your quiet time should be quiet. You know, today people pick up the Bible, and it's good. You're picking up the Bible to read in the morning or in the afternoon, and you got your phone right there. Right? You got a text message. Doop, somebody put something on Facebook. Doop, there's something on Twitter, you know, so we got to keep looking at it. Well, that might be important. Maybe I need quiet time. It's shutting out every distraction that you can hear that voice. Because you see, that voice is a what the Bible calls a still, small voice. If you look those words up from 1 Kings, when Elijah calls and when Elijah is hearing that voice, he calls it a still small voice. It's a gentle whispering voice. A gentle whispering voice. And isn't it interesting that God Almighty, your Creator, He could come with a shout. He could come, hey!
What's your name?
Josh, that's right, Josh. Hey, Josh, shape up, buddy. You know, you better get with it. But no, this little gentle voice, hey, Josh, you know, that wasn't too good. You know, you can do better, Josh. Just this gentle little voice. So what does that mean? That means this gentle whispering voice is speaking. If the speaking's not the problem. Speaking is never the problem. People come to us all the time. They say, Sister Kathy, God never speaks to me. Just happened just the other week. Lady on the phone I was ministering to, and she loves the Lord with all her heart. She said, God never speaks to me like He speaks to you. I said, well, first of all, that's a lie from the D-E-V-I-L, from H-E-L-L. He wants to tell you God's not speaking to you. Well, what does Jesus say? My sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. God is speaking, but we've got to hear. We've got to tune our ears to hear. How many times in the New Testament did Jesus say, if you have ears to hear, let him hear. Those who have ears to hear, hallelujah, let him hear. So through the written word, I like this where a minister, a friend of ours, he was in the early part of his ministry. He really wanted to hear from God, and he wanted God. He said, I know you have things for me to do. I know you have places for me to go. I know you're calling to mystery. And he would spend hours, speak to me, God. Oh, speak to me. And he would go out in the woods late at night and early in the morning. God, speak to me. Show me what I'm supposed to do. And finally, after a few weeks, the Holy Spirit gently spoke to him and said, you have my word. He said, start doing it. He said, you take my word and you do it. And he said, if there's anything else, I'll let you know. That's a good place to start, isn't it? When you open your Bible and you shut out every distraction, you begin to listen and you expect God to speak to you. God to speak to you through his word. Then you have the ministry gifts in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. You know, some people say, I got it. I got God. I got Jesus. I'll just stay home, get my Bible. God speaks to me. Well, yeah, God speaks to you, but you need some help too. We need more. And so God will speak through the ministry gifts, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, the apostle, the evangelist. And you will get things you wouldn't get on your own as the voice will speak through the anointing, through the gifts to the body of Christ. That's why you need to be where? You need to be in a church. You know, there's a huge tendency now. It's all over this country. We travel, and where we travel, we see it all over the same, that people have said now it's not so important to go to church anymore. I can watch something on, on the internet, on the, what is it? Well, you can just, you can watch the service online. You can watch a service that happened last week online. You can just, click on it and see it. I can pray. I can just stay home. But you know what? You get under the gift of the ministry gifts, and God is going to speak to you. And you go to church prayed up that God is going to speak to me today. God is going to speak to me through pastor today. Hallelujah. So you have the word of God. You have the ministry gifts. You have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to get into that, but God will speak through the gift of wisdom, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, supernaturally speaking through the Holy Spirit, and that's always through people. Amen? But you also have the main way God speaks to us is the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside, the witness of his Spirit, God's Spirit speaking directly to your spirit. Guess what? You got someone living on the inside of you who has an opinion. You know, everything on the internet, all the news and everything, it's always, well, what does so-and-so have to say about it? Well, you can come into the conversation, say what you think. Everybody has an opinion, but what does the Holy Spirit say? What is he saying? As you go to, you're even thinking about making a decision, you are debating what to do. Should I go to this school? Should I move to this town? Should I start this ministry? Even as you're praying about it, as you're thinking about it, there is the Holy Spirit on the inside, and he has a witness. Yes, yes, no, no. And you learn to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. The sons of God, the Bible tells us, are led by the Spirit of God. In 1 Kings, let's look at that for just a minute, because this is so important. 1 Kings 19, we see the prophet Elijah. And the prophet Elijah has, called down fire from heaven. He's destroyed the 400 prophets of Baal. He's a mighty man of God. And then one woman threatens his life, and he goes running into the wilderness. And here he is when God tells him to go out by the mountain. And let's look at 1 Kings 19. Let's look at verse 11. When God told him to stand out by the mountain. And it says, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces. And the wind, and after the wind came an earthquake. And then you see, after the earthquake came a fire. And each time it says, but the Lord was not in it. The Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the earthquake. The Lord was not in the fire. And then it says, but after that, a still small voice. And God told him, Elijah, what are you doing here? This still small voice. Elijah, what are you doing here? You know, God might come to you in that still small voice if you take the time and say, what are you doing in this situation? You're not even supposed to be here. And he redirected his path. That gentle whispering voice. I can give you so many illustrations, but you know what? One little word from God could save your life. We were in Haiti. This was just last year. And we took a team there, and we were eating just a simple thing, eating lunch at the hotel at this restaurant. And as soon as the waitress brought out this rice, this one plate of rice and beans, somebody noticed she put this plate of rice and beans separate, and there was a big pot of rice and beans over here, but she had this separate little plate, and she served everybody else from this pot. But then when she came to my husband and I, she took it off a separate plate, and she went to serve it on our dish, on our plate, and I heard this voice. Don't eat the rice and beans. Now, she had been upset with us because we told her the order had been wrong, and she had a very bad look on her face when she went back to get the food. Don't eat. Well, I didn't say anything, and my husband was hungry. He started really eating, but I ate it just a little bit. But I didn't pay attention to that voice. We got so sick. We were sick all night long with food poisoning. And the next day, looking very pale, we come to the prayer meeting with our team. And we said, well, pray for us because we're battling something. And the pastor that was with us said, I'm so sorry. I have to really repent to you. He said, the Holy Spirit told me when they brought that rice and beans to tell you not to eat the rice and beans. So that was the voice of the Holy Spirit. So many times he's warned us of things if we hear his voice. Hallelujah. Now, there's so many things I could share, but one of the things that helps us to hear his voice, I'll just share this just like a little tidbit. This is just like a little appetizer. But one of the things that helps us to hear his voice is our willingness to do what he says. The willing factor. It's not like, oh, God, show me what you think about this, and I'll consider it, you know. But it's the willing factor. When we hear his voice, we respond to his voice, we do what he says, then we receive more. And let's look real quickly at Mark chapter 4, and I'm just getting ready to wrap it up. But Mark chapter 4, and look at verse 23 to 25. Hallelujah. If anyone has ears to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. When you value, I like to use these D words. If you disregard, if you dishonor, if you disrespect, or you doubt his word, you're not going to hear a lot. If he speaks to you, you dishonor it. You don't respect it. You disrespect it. Or you disregard it. Well, you know, God said this, but I think I've got another plan. But when you honor and you regard and you respect and you believe his word and you take time to hear his word, you're going to receive more. You know, I've always found every person is different, but for me, what helps me to hear from God, I get out in nature, and you can ask Bob and Vicki, you know this, I know, but whenever I'm at their house, I'm always, if it's not raining or it's not, you know, snowing or something, I'm out in the yard. I get outside, I get in nature, and I pray and I walk. And I get alone and I get quiet. And that voice. You know, when in Luke, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and told her that she was going to give birth to the Messiah, Here she is, probably around 15-year-old, virgin, and he's saying, you're going to have a baby, and how this is going to happen. And she says, how can this be? And the Bible says that nothing, that is when in Luke chapter 2, nothing shall be impossible with God. With God, nothing. That's Luke 1:37. With God, nothing will be impossible. Now, we know that with God, nothing is impossible. That word, nothing, means not any word. That's what the original word meant. Not any word shall be impossible with God. With a word from God, with hearing his voice, you can take hold of that which would have been impossible. She got the word from God, and that word from God, believing that word and acting on that word, produced the miraculous. So the last thing I want to just share with you before I turn it over to Pastor is this. One of the things, taking that time on a daily basis, whatever it takes to shut everything out and have a quiet time with God, will change your life. It's a discipline. I started it before I got saved, which is funny, but I did. So I heard about it, and I thought, that sounds interesting. I could get closer to God that way. And I just started getting up 15 minutes earlier every day and reading the Bible and getting quiet. God was leading me before I was even a Christian and speaking to me, and he began speaking to me things. And the other thing is, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And there may be someone here, you don't even know what that is, but it's more of God's Spirit who is speaking, the Holy Spirit. So as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's more of his Spirit. And I'm telling you, the main thing I noticed when I got filled with the Holy Spirit was I started hearing his voice. I remember I would open my Bible, and it was like, oh my gosh, I've read this before, but it's just talking to me, and it's speaking to me, and he's speaking to me. And I would pray, and I would hear his voice, because the Holy Spirit, more of his Spirit on the inside. And I know at the very end of this service, maybe you've heard about that, maybe you haven't, but if that's something you want, and what comes along with that is the ability to pray in tongues, a language you don't even know, but you're praying directly to God. And when I hear from God, I spend time praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And as I'm praying, I call it like bubbling up, but it's like after spending some time praying, it's like something just seems to come up, and I understand something, or I hear something, or I know something. Because the Bible says you're talking directly to God, not to man. So I'm going to just pray for you now, and then I'm going to turn it back to Pastor. And then I think he's going to take the offering and whatever, then I'll call you back up, anyone that wants prayer for that. We'll get the prayer. Prayer workers? Partners to come up. And don't go home without that tonight. Let's just stand up a minute, and I want to pray for you as we close this study. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you so much that we can hear your voice. That gentle, whispering voice that will guide us, that will teach us, that will protect us, that will keep us, that will reveal things to us, that will show us the future. And Father, I just thank you for your word, that in this short time you would take that word, that it would bring life to people. And I pray, Father, if anyone here tonight has not received that infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of being able to pray in a new language, to talk directly with you, that they would receive that tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.